Continuing our lessons on the science of the Christian life, and tonight I want to teach on the science of staying the same. I could call it the science of not changing, but I think I've already taught one about that, so I want to call it the science of staying the same. Same lesson, but it's just a different title. How many of you remember that lesson? How many remembered enough to where you don't need it again? Shall we stand for our closing prayer, please? Open your Bibles to 1 Timothy chapter 4. So this would be something old and something new, but something that I wanted to teach about for several weeks, the science of staying the same. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 11. These things command and teach. Now, what are these things? Here they are. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee with a prophecy, with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. Meditate upon these things. Now that's the thing we just talked about. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, or in doing this, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. I have a sermon I preach around the country on occasion from this text. It is a very important text, and I especially want you folks that are young tonight. When I say young, I'm talking about anybody 6 to 8 or under. I want you to be sure and listen very, very carefully as I talk to you about not changing. Our Heavenly Father, I pray you to help us tonight as we study. I want to be a help. In these days where so many are tossed to and fro by every stupid wind of doctrine, I pray you to help us to build a foundation. Help us to set our sail on course. Help us to drop anchor. Bless our study tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Let me have your attention as I try to teach from this passage tonight. This letter is written to young Timothy. Timothy is a young preacher. He's already ordained, but he's a young preacher. I do not know exactly how old Timothy was, but in comparison, he was a young preacher. Now, Paul writes to Timothy, and he says, verse 11, these things command and teach. Let no man despise thy youth. Look at me. The word youth, despise there, means to look down on. Let no man look down on thy youth. Now, I'm going to ask you to say some things back to me tonight. First is, he said, let no man despise thy youth. Let me explain what that means. He's not saying, let no man despise the fact that you're young. He's not saying that, Timothy, let no man despise the fact that you're young. He's not saying that. He said, let no man despise thy particular youth. What he's saying to Timothy is this. He's saying, I want you to behave in such a way that nobody's going to be upset with the way you're acting. That's what he's saying. He's saying, let me just put it very plainly. He's saying, Timothy, you behave in church while you're a young man. He's saying, Timothy, get off that back row under the dark spot back there and get down and pay attention like you wanted to come to church so nobody can despise it. He's saying, Timothy, don't you misbehave so folks around you will despise you or your behavior because they can't hear in the services. So he's saying, Timothy, let no man despise your particular youth. That's the first thing he's saying. Now, don't forget that. He's saying, let no man despise thy youth. He's not saying, let no man despise your being young. He's saying, let no man despise the way that you use your youth. All right, let's go a step further. But be thou an example of the believers. Now, wait a minute here. Wait a minute here. We're talking about a young man. You mean a young man is supposed to be an example of the believers? That's what it says right here. Yeah. You folks that just sang a while ago, you're supposed to be an example of the other people. Oh, you say, I thought the adults are supposed to be an example of the children. That's not what it says here. It said, young Timothy, you be an example of the believers. What does that mean? That means that teenagers ought to be soul winners and be an example in soul winning. What does that mean? That means teenagers ought to pray and be an example in prayer. I'm a little tired of this modern youth program. Thank God for Brother Lapina and these others that teach our kids the spiritual things. Not just a hot dog, a hamburger, and a hayride. I mean, Now, we got the idea that the average youth program is supposed to cater to the whims of the kids' fun. Well, I want to say this. Teenagers are supposed to be an example to older people. Paul said to Timothy, you be an example. Now, he goes on. By the way, the word example means model. So he said, be an example. Now, here it is. Be an example in word. What does that mean? That means your vocabulary ought to be an example to the older people. You say, Brother Hiles, are you telling me that I'm a teenager, I'm supposed to be an example to my mom and dad? That's exactly what I'm telling you. I'm telling you, listen, back in the 1960s and early 70s, a bunch of long-haired, hippie, demented, drunkard, perverted teenagers changed America. They changed the hairstyles of America. They changed the dress of America. They changed the music of America. They changed the vocabulary of America. Now, I believe a bunch of decent Christian kids can change it back. Now, Paul said to a young person, now get this, a young person. He said, you be an example to the believers. In word, that's in your vocabulary. Secondly, he said, in conversation. What does that mean? That means the way you talk, not just what you say, but the way you talk. It means that your manner, your courtesy, your kindness ought to be an example to the believer. I'm a little sick of people saying, well, you know how teenagers are. I know how God expects them to be too. God expects the young people to be examples to the believers. And it says in word and in conversation. That means that the teenagers are supposed to be example in friendliness, in courtesy, in kindness, in decency, in behavior. You're supposed to be an example to the believers. Let's go on. First is, let no man despise thy what? Number one, let no man despise thy what? Youth. Let no man do what to thy youth? Despise thy youth. Number two, be a what? Example. Be a what? Number one is what? Let no man what? Talk to me. Let no man what? Despise thy youth. Number two, be a what? Example. Be an example first. How? Word. How else? Conversation. Say it. First what? Word. Second what? Conversation. All right. Let's go a step further. In charity. What does that mean? It means in love. It said, hey, listen. I'm a little tired of you kids. I'm sick and tired, and I've said this often, but I go across America. I see a family coming in church while I'm up here on the platform. Here comes a mother in a nice, modest knee-length skirt down below her knees. And she has a Bible in her hand and a fine, nice-looking lady. Here comes a father in a business suit with a tie, white shirt and a tie on. And then here comes Junior with a pair of blue jeans barely holding up, hanging on his hips, and with long, shaggy, hippie hair. Junior, get out of here. Get you some clothes on, but dress decently. Get you a haircut and be an example to mom and dad. What the Bible says. And here comes Susie. Susie comes in. She looks like she just got caught in a rainstorm after fighting the Korean War. And she's got her pants on. Now, my Bible says that it's the teenager, the young person, is supposed to be an example to the older people. I'm saying, young people, you ought to set the pace. You ought to be the one that's the example. You ought to show mom and dad how to be soul winners. You ought to show mom and dad how to pray. You ought to show mom and dad how to read the Bible. You ought to show mom and dad how to dress. You ought to show mom and dad how to be decent. You ought to show mom and dad how to be courteous. You ought to show mom and dad how to be kind. God said, the Apostle Paul said, is inspired by the Holy Spirit, to the young man, you be the example to the believers, not the old people or the young people. Let's go a step further. Let no man despise thy youth. Be thou an example to the believers in word, in conversation, in love. I love this next one. In spirit. In spirit. Well, you know this teenager blasé spirit. All hogwash on that teenager blasé spirit. Happiest folks in the church are the teenagers. Friendless folks are the teenagers. Most optimistic folks ought to be young people. But the people that ought to be sitting up right now, listening to you the most, and interested most in what I'm saying, ought to be freshmen and sophomores and juniors and seniors in high school and freshmen and sophomores and juniors and seniors in college. This thing of sitting there and picking your fingernails while the preacher's preaching, or doing your hair while the preacher's preaching, or standing around to see what everybody's doing while the preacher's preaching. I'm saying you young people need to come to church and sit up and listen to what's going on and be an example to the believers in the way you talk and what you say and in love and also in a good spirit. Let no man despise thy youth, verse 12, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit. Now let's stop there. Paul said, Timothy, first thing, I'm going to get something after a while now. Don't leave me. Paul said, Timothy, first thing he wants to do is let no man what? Talk to me. Let no man what? But be a what? Example. First in, second in, third in, charity, fourth in, spirit. First in what? Word. Then conversation, then charity, then in spirit. Okay, let's go on. In faith. And then it says, in purity. Now you listen to me. You're not supposed to wait till you're too old to have any fun to be decent. And you're not supposed to wait till you get married to be clean and pure. Paul is saying, get yourself out of lover's lane. Get yourself out of that car alone with the boy. Get yourself away from that. Listen, I heard some of our junior high school boys, not men, boys, not boys, idiots, talking about whether they're going to kiss their girlfriend or not at the Valentine date. You're a disgrace to the cause of Christ. I said you're a disgrace to the cause of Christ. If a junior high boy and high school boy, listen to me. I said you're a disgrace to the cause of Christ. Well, I'm going to kiss my girlfriend. Well, you really are a big he-man. Bully, bully for you. You can't even say no to a couple of lips. I'm trying to tell you tonight that you high school boy, listen, every stinking one of you ought to wait till you walk down this aisle, stand right here to kiss that girlfriend. Well, you Silver House, that's not reasonable. Okay, tell God about it, not me. God said, be an example. Young people, 7th graders, 8th graders, 9th graders, 10th graders, 11th graders, 12th graders, college freshmen, college sophomores, college juniors, college seniors, you're being an example in the way you talk, how you talk, your kindness, your courtesy, your decency, your manners, your behavior, and in your spirit, and in your attitude, and in your purity, and in your faith. He said you are supposed to be an example. Listen, I promise you this. This kind of Christianity that asks nothing from the young people is dying. These churches that ask nothing. We ask something from our kids. We say that coming to Christ, you're supposed to give something and give up something. You're supposed to be unique. You're soldiers of Calvary. You're a child of the King. God expects something out of you. These little churches around the country, Malik, calling the teenagers, letting them wear their pants, the girls wear their pants to the activities, and the boys wear that long hippie hair, look like the world, sing like the world, talk like the world, stink like the world, act like the world, behave like the world. They don't have any young people have any cause. You give me a church like this where we say, this is what you're going to do. You're going to come to our school, and you're going to behave yourself or trot your little self to a public school somewhere, and these are our rules. That's what attracts young people. Young folks want a challenge. And by the way, some of you parents don't want your teenagers to like this, but they want to know some positives. What is right and what is wrong? And bless God, as long as I've got energy to stand up here, you're going to find out what's right and what's wrong. You're supposed to be an example. You teenagers tonight sitting back in the corners, talking, misbehaving. Time you got it in the front, acted like I'm not somebody's got to sit in the back, but let grandpa sit in the back and take a nap. You get up here on the front. I'd be ashamed of myself. I'm talking about those that haven't heard me preach a sermon since Adam and Eve were in the Garden of Eden. You don't know. You go home on Sunday, you haven't got to fog you. Listen to me. Every teenager in this house ought to go home on Sunday and tell his mom and dad what Brother Howell said while he preached. All of you. An example. All right. He said, let no man despise thy youth. Be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Till I come, he's still talking to young people now. Till I come, give attendance to reading. Didn't say give attendance to Nintendo. I'm getting to the place where I'm just about as much against Nintendo as I am video. You say, are they sinful? No, they're just stupid. Give attendance to reading. You say, what could my kids do? Paul said, read. There was a day in America when kids read. You know that? What are my kids going to do for fun? How about reading? Oh, Brother Hiles. My Bible said to young people, give attendance to reading. Now, wait a minute. Hold it a minute. Hold it. That's a command. That's a command. It didn't say consider giving it. It says to young people, read. That's what it says. And it's not talking about reading 17 magazine either. Give attendance to reading. To exhortation. Now listen carefully, kids. I'm going to eat you up here. You're going to wish you hadn't sat down in the front. You folks are going to wish you hadn't sung tonight. Because I'm going to spit all over you while I get banged up this point. Exhortation. What that exhortation means? The word exhortation is the same word that is translated Holy Spirit. It's the word that in 1 John 2:1 says, my little children, these things write I you, sin not. If any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. It's the word paraclete, which means give attendance to running to people's side. Now listen to me. Some kid gets in trouble in school. You should not date that kid. You should not socialize with that kid, but you should not shun that kid either. Some kid gets expelled from school. Don't date him. Don't socialize with him or her. But be friendly and come to Sunday school and tell her howdy. And let her know you're glad she's there. And nobody ought to ever snub anybody. He says, young people, run to the side of those who've fallen. I didn't say date them. Didn't say socialize with them. Didn't say make any best friends. It says run to their side. Now, wait a minute. Somebody out here gets hit by a car. And here comes the ambulance, medics, paramedics, and the flashing. And so the man comes out, and the paramedics come out. And they get the stretcher out, and they get the oxygen out. And here's this beautiful young lady lying there. She hit with the car. The paramedic doesn't say, could I have a date? The paramedic doesn't say, let's eat out together tonight. The paramedic lifts that person up and tries to help them. Now, I am totally opposed to young people dating worldly young people. And I'm totally opposed to young people having best friends among worldly young people. I am also totally opposed to this snobbery that won't speak to somebody because they made a mistake. Paul said, young people, be an example in word, be an example in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Let no man despise thy youth and give attendance to reading and to picking folks up who've fallen to doctrine. Now look at verse 14. He's talking to young Timothy here. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. Timothy had no doubt just been ordained. Look at me. He had just been ordained. The Apostle Paul said, Timothy, you stay like you were when you got ordained. Now listen. People say, Brother Hiles, are you saying that you're a young preacher? Or to decide what he believes and say, I'll never change. That's what God is saying here. Well, you say, Brother Hiles, when you're young, do you know what? Listen, most, if not all, of the big decisions you make in life, you make while you're young. You choose your wife while you're young, and you don't improve her every time you see somebody else that's prettier. That's the case. Some of you fellows have been married an awful lot of times. I'm telling you, you choose your wife. When? While you're young. You don't choose your wife when you're 65 years old. You choose her when you're 20, 21, 22, 23.
24, 25, and you expected to live with it from then on. You choose your vocation. Now, if you can choose a vocation that lasts you a lifetime, and you can choose a wife that'll last you a lifetime, you dead sure can choose doctrine that'll last you a lifetime. And standards that'll last you a lifetime. Now listen carefully. Somebody said, Brother House, how about growing in grace? Look at me carefully. See that hand right there? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. That's exactly how many I had when I was born. You know there's not one single part on my body that wasn't there when I was born 67 and a half years ago? When God says grow in grace, He's not saying grow some extra parts. He's saying the parts you got, grow in them. He's saying grow in reading. Grow in lifting folks up. Grow in love. Grow in spirit. I want to tell you something. You preacher boys, listen to me. Before you get out of Howells Anderson College, you decide what you believe, and then you put the file, you file it, and leave it there, and never reconsider it again. I was talking to a man the other day, and he said, Brother Howells, I've known him for years. I consider myself his friend. He said, Brother Howells, I'm concerned about maybe I've said something that might make you feel, change your opinion about me. I said, hold it, wait a minute. I decided what I thought about you years ago, and I wrote it down and put it in the file and don't know where the file is. Listen. While you are young, you settle that the King James Bible is God's book. And don't even open it for reconsideration. You settle that Jesus is virgin born and don't even think about it again. You settle it that He lived a perfect life and don't think of that. We got graduates of Howells Anderson College. Every time they read somebody else's book, they re-examine what they believe. I heard one of our preachers preach years ago. When Howells Anderson College, one of the greatest young preachers ever lived, I heard him preach and I said to myself, I know what he's been doing. He's been reading Watchman Nee and he's changing his doctrine, his philosophy. I found out that secretly he was a follower of John MacArthur, when he should have said while he was young, I believe this, I'll not change. I believe the virgin birth, the vicarious death, the bodily resurrection, the pre-millennial coming of Christ. I believe in separation from the world. That's what I believe and that's what I'll always believe. Decide what you believe while you're young. But you said, Brother Hiles, you know more as you get older. I don't think so. Your brain's new now. When it gets my age, it don't work as well as it used to. God said, Timothy, while you are young. Decide what you think about convictions, standards, and don't change. Now, don't I haven't gotten to study yet, so don't leave me. He said in verse 15, meditate upon these things. Now, the word meditate is an interesting word. It means to practice over and over and over again these things. Keep on practicing. It means keep on doing the same thing again and again and again and again and again. What is he saying? Keep on using the right vocabulary. Keep on talking in the right manner. Keep on having the same convictions. Keep on having love. Keep on having a good spirit. Keep on having faith. And keep on being pure. He's saying while you're young, decide what you believe and keep on and on and on and on and on and on and on till you're 67 years old and then you'll believe what you did when you're 21 years old. You check my sermons I preached 45 years ago and you won't tell them from the ones I preach right now. You know why? Because I decided what I believed. I've never considered another Bible. I've never considered anything other than the virgin birth. Well, you say why? Because I've never considered being for women wearing pants. I've never thought men ought to wear long shaggy hair. I've never considered Hollywood movies. I've never considered mixed women. I've never considered that. Why? Because as a kid preacher, I was against it, and by cracky, I'm against it as an old man, too. Paul said, keep on doing it. Get this. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them. Now listen carefully. Listen. Wholly there means to nothing else. To nothing else. You settle on these basic things and don't you consider any other area at all. Holy. That thy profiting, the word profiting means progress, may appear to all. I love that statement. He didn't say the outside's not important. He said you behave on the outside so everybody can see your progress. I'm sick and tired of this charismatic, hodgepodge, satanic, devilish kind of junk. It says it doesn't matter how you look, how you live on the outside. It does matter how you live on the outside. Of course it does. But it's the inside that counts. Oh, shut your stupid mouth up. The inside does count, but the outside counts too. My Bible said, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Now look in verse 16. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them. He's talking to the young man. He said, decide your doctrine and stay in it. And the word continue there means remain, stay inside. Stay inside the perimeter of your doctrine that you settled as a young man. Continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt save thyself and them that hear thee. Let me show you what I mean. That little line there, and here's where I have a sermon on. The little line there that says, take heed to thyself, is a very interesting line. Paul said, Timothy, I want you to work on yourself now. I want you to so behave that no man will be disgusted with your youth. I want you to be an example to the believers in what you say and how you say it, word and conversation. I want you to be an example of believers in love. I want you to be an example of the believers in your spirit or your attitude. I want you to be an example of the believers in your faith. I want you to be an example of the believers in your faith. And by the way, teenagers should not have to be scolded by their parents for their misbehaving with the opposite sex. They ought to be the example. Paul said, Timothy, let no man despise your youth. Then he said, you become an example in word, in conversation, in love, in spirit, in faith, and in purity. Then he said, after you've done that, he said, give attendance to reading and to exhortation, running to pick people up who've fallen, and to doctrine. Now he said, Timothy, you're a young preacher. He said, when you got ordained, he said, don't you neglect what you were when you got ordained. May I tell you tonight who my favorite preacher is? Me. I copy me. I've said this often. When I was a kid preacher in East Texas, I thought a church budget was a car rental place. When I was a kid preacher in East Texas, I thought a constitution was a person had a lot of grit in his stomach. When I was a kid preaching, I didn't know a thing about a deacon's meeting. I didn't know anything about Sunday school. I didn't know anything about pastoring a church. I knew nothing about a church budget. Nothing at all. But I was called to pastor a church at the age of 21. I got on my knees and I said to God, dear God, I've got to have your help. I don't know how to run a church. I don't know how to do it. I'm just a kid preacher. You're going to have to help me. And praise God, he did help me. In that little country church, it became the beehive of activity of the whole county. That little place out in the country baptized more people than any church in the whole county did. People came from 40 and 45 miles away just to our services out in the country there. I didn't know what I was doing. I just asked God to help me, and he did help me. Now, wait a minute. I left that church and went to Henderson, Texas. You know what I did? I copied another preacher. You know who I copied? I copied what I was when I was in Marshall, Texas. Because God helped me in Marshall, Texas. And so I copied. And that's what he's saying. He's saying, take heed to thyself. Hey, listen to me, young people. The word heed, you ought to be an example of behavior. The word heed, to take heed to thyself, means examine thyself, study thyself, and stay thyself. You know what it means? Give me a preacher over here. You a preacher student? I don't want you up here. You a preacher student? You a preacher student? That means when you're 67 years old, you're supposed to believe and act like you act right now. What does it mean? Get yourself in shape and then take heed. Copy yourself. examine yourself, study yourself, and stay yourself. So I copied the fella in Marshall when I went to Henderson. I went to Garland, Texas. You know who I copied? The guy used to pastor in Henderson. I kept on copying myself. I have tapes of my sermons, the old sermons that I listen to regularly. You know why? Because I don't want to change. Every once in a while, I won't move around in the pulpit much, and I'll get a copy of my old tapes, and I'll remember where I was when I said that. So I move around some. Every once in a while, I'll get a copy of my old tapes, and I'll hear this. So next Sunday, I do this. Say what? I don't want to change. Listen to me. God is saying that you ought to copy yourself. Get yourself in shape and get yourself with these things right here. Then step back, take heed to thyself, take a picture of yourself, examine yourself, study yourself, and copy yourself. That's what he's saying. All across this country, I see preachers changing. Dr. David Gibbs said this to me today. He said, Dr. Jack Hiles is the only preacher I know up in years who is still alive, who takes the same stand he took back yonder years ago. He said, I thought years ago we'd have several. But he said, they're either dead, retired, or changed. That's one reason why I do that. That's why I do that. You think I like to do that?
Yeah, I love it.
You know why I do it? Because I am going to stay young. You come to some of the conferences where I preach. I preach with young men. I preach with Ray Young. I preach with, who else? Tom Neal, Mike Haynes. I preach with Randy Taylor. All these young squirts. But they ain't. Forgive me for saying it. They may out-preach me. They ain't going to out-holler me. And they may out-preach me. They ain't going to out-excite me. And they may out-preach me, but they're not going to out-whoopee me. Not going to do it. No, sir. Because I always preach last. They put down one microphone, I knock down two. I'm trying to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, America's full of a bunch of old codgers who've gotten a bunch of books outside the Bible, and they're not what they used to be, and that's why that most of the church growth in America takes place in young men's churches and not old men's churches. But it doesn't have to be that way with the grace of God. If God's men will say, I will not change, copy yourself. Copy yourself. Let's go to you lay people. Did you used to say amen? Did you used to pass out tracts on the street? Did you used to have a bus route? Did you used to say glory to God? But you've outgrown that. No, you've outdied that. Paul said, get happy while you're young and copy yourself and stay happy and stay happy and stay happy and stay happy. Some of you older people, as you grow older, not senior citizens, but as you get around 40 years of age and 45 years of age, you sort of have a feeling that you can retire from excitement, poppycock, foolishness. Well, you sit with the house. That young fellow sits in front of me. He gets too excited. You used to. Get excited too. Why don't you lay people decide that no lay person is going to get happier than you? I've decided no preacher is going to get happier than me. I'm going to out happy. Oh, Hooker here, he's becoming a pretty good preacher. But he ain't going to out preach the old man. No way. As he gets better, I'm going to get better. Then there's Jeff Owens. No problem at all. Then there's Roy. I should just limit this to preachers. I'm not saying that I can outpreach anybody, but I am saying I am not going to grow old and be a deadhead. And this church is not going to either. You say, well, I like something more worshipful, then shoo. They're all over the place. Right across the street, go over there. Try that one over there. Over there, go on over there. Go on, you love it over there. Yeah, you got a man over there. A woman's got a man. A man's got a woman's dress on. A woman's got a man's pants. I don't know what. I'm trying to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, that is, take Hiles Anderson College. Do you know Hiles Anderson College is going to stay wild, or I am going to light a fire in that place? Somebody said the other day to me, they said a certain sermon they heard at Hiles Anderson College was boring. Dr. Evans and I are having a talk. It was his sermon. We're not going to have any boring sermons at Hiles Anderson College. We're not. No, sir. And the guy that preached it, they'll make popsicles in Hades before he'll be behind that platform again. But you say, Brother Hiles, he may not be the excitable type. But okay, then he won't preach anymore. Brother, if your name is written in heaven, just think about it and hoopee a while. I think I told you this, but I got a little while I got to fill up here. I was in Missouri, got in my room, picked up the newspaper, started to read the sport page. It said that Liberty University was playing Campbell University for the championship of their conference, and it was going to televise it at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. I decided to see Falwell School. Jerry and I used to be good friends, and so I decided to look at it a while. I especially wanted to see the cheerleaders. Now hold it, not because I wanted to see them. I may be old, but I'm not dead. How'd they look? Channel 7. No. But Liberty University's cheerleaders were in the same little panty showing skirts that the secular school was. I preached the commencement address at that school one time. I used to preach there regularly every year. They didn't all of a sudden decide to shorten those skirts. The first thing they decided to do was to not copy themselves. And if Jerry Falwell, you say, I don't think you should mention Jerry Falwell while you preach, then don't ever do it. Now listen carefully to me. I'm not trying to hurt him. I think he's a decent man. I think he's a patriotic American and a decent man, but I argued with him for the hour trying to talk some sense in his head about that thing, but brother, he didn't copy himself and didn't look at himself and didn't hold it firm. And because he didn't, now then, he wants to be the Baptist Notre Dame. There's no such thing as a Baptist Notre Dame. If you like Notre Dame, you're not Baptist anymore. How did it happen? Happened exactly the way some of you folks died. Same way churches die, same way preachers die, same way schools die. We do not copy our youth. Paul said, Timothy, he said, let no man despise your youth. He said, I want you to be an example. And he said, Timothy, this is shape you want to get yourself in. He said, be an example in word, in conversation, be an example in love, be an example in spirit, be an example in faith, be an example in purity. Now, Timothy, add this. Give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Now, Timothy, when you get there, stay like you were when you got ordained. Now, he said, Timothy, you got yourself in good shape right now? You got yourself all in good shape. Okay, he said, step back there and take a picture of yourself. Take heed to thyself. What's he saying? Take heed to thyself. Take a picture of yourself and examine it and study it and copy it. Now, let me close with this. Young people, I hear them say this, and they do it sometimes. They come to our church, and I mentioned this the other night. They come to our church, they go to our grade school, go to our junior high school, go to the high school. Then maybe go to the college, maybe not. Usually, this kind usually does not go to Hiles Anderson College. Then they want to go somewhere else. They want to go somewhere where they can lower their standards. They want to go somewhere, they say, a smaller church. I don't believe that for a minute. It's not a smaller church you want. It is a looser church that you want. I'll prove it. You never go to a stricter one. If you want to go to a small one, I can tell you some small ones that believe like we believe. Want some names of them? No, you don't. You go to some GARB church. You won't go to one district. You know why? Because you are changing and you are directly going against the Word of God. If God gave you this man to be your youth director, if God gave you this man to be your vice president of your college, and God gave you this man, the other men, to be your principals, and God gave you this man to be your pastor, then brother, you ought to practice what you've been taught here at First Baptist Church of Hammond. And take heed to yourself. Young preachers say, by the way, at pastor school, if there's one thing that was said to me in notes that I got, and I got dozens and scores, maybe several hundred of them. If there's one thing that was said, they said this, Brother Hiles, thank you as you've grown older for not changing. Thank you as you've grown older for not changing. Now, let me see, I worded this right. You don't change. Not changing is on purpose. If you don't change on purpose, you change just like you don't have your anchor down. If you do anything on purpose, it's not changing. Well, how do you not change? Get yourself as you ought to be while you're young, then copy yourself, and then be that way, and then copy yourself, and be that way, and then copy yourself, and be that way, and then copy yourself, and you get 67 years old, you're preaching the same thing you were when you were 21. Because you're taking heed to yourself. You're copying yourself. That glory be to God, people that come to First. Oh, I wish you could hear what they say. Brother Hiles, I came to visit First Baptist. And they'll say, many folks in the choir were the ones that were there when I was there. And they'll say, the ushers. Becky said the other day, said, Daddy, so many of the ushers, the ones that were ushering when I was home. And so many in the choir, the ones that were there when I was there. I said, Puddin', did you feel at home? She said, I always feel at home. You know why? Hasn't changed. Hasn't changed. You know why it hasn't changed? Because we work to keep from changing. If you do nothing, you change. If you don't change, you don't change on purpose. We got a business meeting.